Well, this morning's second public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And last week, beloved, we saw where Israel, and again, as we study Amos, going all the way back to that long line of prophets, who, in the parable of the householder, were represented as the servants who came to the vineyard to see how things were going, because the owner came to look for some harvesting, for some grapes, for some fruit, but nothing was there. And so he sends these servants, the old and the minor prophets, the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. And the people working the vineyard treated them poorly. And that poor treatment of God's servants continued all the way down. Look what they did with Jesus in John 19. We have no king but Caesar. That was a flat lie. Crucify him. And so there they commit, I believe, high treason. And therefore, in A.D. 70, God destroyed the temple and the city, because the new covenant was now in place. There's no need to bring animals and goats and bulls to church to be slaughtered for your sins. John 19, we're going to pick up now with 19 down to verse 30. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. How ironic. Notice what Pilate put above Jesus' head. Whenever they crucified someone, they would normally either put a placket hung around the neck of the criminal or above the cross telling you the crime. And notice what he writes. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And what did the Jews say? We have no king but Caesar. Was Pilate playing with them, even here? This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And notice Pilate's pushback. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts of every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. Notice that the Old Testament scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, quote, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vestures they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. That's from Psalm 22, verse 18. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciples standing by. Now that's John, whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And that is not a phrase of disrespect. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. So there's the transfer of Mary, the mother of Jesus, into the perpetual custody and care of John the Beloved. After this, Jesus, knowing, now get this, that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he saith, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Please be seated, beloved, and may God once again choose to bless his word. I believe that our series in the book of Amos, and also our current series on the canonization of the Bible, if you haven't noticed this, can I also bring it to your attention? Notice how these two series, which seem to be separate, are actually dovetailing with each other. They're actually complementing each other. And then we're going to see that even in today's reading. Notice in verses 23 and 24. When soldiers crucified an individual, if the individual had any personal belongings, it was customary that the soldiers basically divvied up as an extra payment for their services whatever this criminal may have had in his possession. Okay, if there was anything of any value, in this case, we're talking about Jesus' clothes. The soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments, probably his undergarments, and made four parts to every soldier apart. So they ripped it. Also his coat, now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. Probably Mary made that. They said, therefore, amongst themselves, let's not cut it, let's not tear it or rip it, but cast lots. So now, while Jesus is in agony, dying for the sins of his people, they're doing a crap game with dice. Whose it shall be? Now notice the dovetail. That the scripture, again, there was no New Testament at all. Matter of fact, there was no idea of a New Testament in anyone's mind as far as the people at that time. So, what did they do? They draw from that Old Testament. Might be fulfilled, would say it, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vestures they did cast lots. Now, David uttered that. And as far as I know, when you read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, nowhere do you find in the life of David, okay, his entire life, from start to finish, nowhere is any reference made of anyone taking David's garments from him. So the lesser David in Psalm 22 is painting a portrait of a greater David who would come. And so the lesser David says, and again, nowhere in Samuel's two books do you find any reference to David's garments being, you know, gambled for. So the lesser David is pointing to someone greater than himself. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And that's Psalm 22, 18. So notice, once again, last hour, anyone comes along and tells you and I, you don't need the Old Testament, we're New Testament Christians. Notice what you lose. Notice what's being taken away from you. Notice how that early church, until the New Testament finally did become written down, again, first given by word of mouth, then written down. Until then, what authority did they stand on? Even Jesus read and quoted from the Old Testament. So, beware of anyone who tells you you can dismiss the Old Testament. You walk away from that person, okay? And then notice verse 27. Then said he to his disciples, behold thy mother. This is when Jesus gives the loving care for the rest of her life to John. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. Now look at verse 28. Notice again the Old Testament. After this, Jesus, knowing that not some, not 99.9, all things were now accomplished. All things, not some, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And again, that comes from the prophecies of Isaiah and also King David. And when Jesus, when they actually did give it to him, when you read the other gospel narratives, when they gave him something to drink, he refused. Now, normally, when they crucified someone, we are also told that the person about to be nailed or tied was normally given a drink in order to deaden the pain. They attempted to give that to Jesus, and he refused it. This here was not that drink to deaden. This was vinegar on a sponge, and upon hyssop, some type of a plant. And so whether Jesus took this, I can't remember, but it's in the other Gospels. But Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar. He said, "It is finished." He bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And so once again, beloved, I just can't overstress this, overemphasize the importance of the Old Testament. And when you come to the New Testament, listen carefully. I know I've mentioned this before. Every reference of the use of the word scripture, singular, or scriptures in the plural, both times that word is found in the New, it's a reference to the Old. A reference to the Old. And so the Old Testament, beloved, is the foundation. You can't build a house without ground-level foundation. The Old Testament is your foundation. The New Testament is the superstructure that is built on that foundation. And so may God choose to bless His Word. Amen.